Intercessory Prayer, Chapter 7, Interceding for Revival. Key verse. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Introduction. One of the most important tasks of intercession is praying for revival. In this chapter, you will learn the definition of revival, how to prepare for it, and how to recognize when it is needed. You will also learn how to identify obstacles that hinder revival and how to intercede for it. The definition of revival. First, let us examine what revival is not. Revival is not just emotionalism. People respond emotionally to revival, but emotions are just a part of the revival. They are not the revival. True revival will affect the whole man, however, including his emotions. Knowledge of facts never moves men. Statistics on the numbers of deaths caused by alcoholic beverage never converts a drunkard. Figures on the increase of crime do not change criminals. The convicting power of the Holy Spirit must touch a man both spiritually and emotionally to effect change. Revival is not loud music and hellfire preaching. It is not a campaign for new members to increase attendance. Church growth is a result of revival, but it is not the same as revival. Revival is not evangelism. Evangelism is proclaiming the good news of the gospel. Revival precedes evangelism. For when dead believers are revived, evangelism results. Finally, revival is not just a series of special meetings unless those special meetings are touched by the sovereign move of God. Revival is a sovereign, extraordinary work of God through and in behalf of a people who have learned and applied the principles revealed in the Rhema Word of God regarding revival. Revival is sovereign in that it cannot be produced by man. It is extraordinary because it is a special work of God. A revival works within a group of people and in behalf of them. In order to prepare for revival, we must apply the principles revealed in God's Word regarding revival. Everything the Bible teaches about revival is the Rhema, or specific Word of God on the subject. We may also say that revival is an awakening, revitalizing, restoring of God's people, a strengthening of those things which remain, a return to consciousness or life. That which is revived becomes active and flourishing again. The inrush of the Spirit into the body that is threatened to become a corpse. Times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Preparing for revival. We can compare preparation for revival to the task of farming. A farmer can sit around and pray for a good harvest, but if he does not prepare the field, plant the seed and water the crop, it will not come. Equally foolish is the farmer who thinks because he does his part in these tasks that harvest is assured. It takes the sovereignty of God through rain, sunshine, and the proper weather patterns to bring the crop to maturity. The farmer works in cooperation with the principles of sowing and reaping, seed time and harvest, revealed in God's Word. God is still sovereign, for the rain, sun, and proper weather patterns come from Him. The same analogy may be used for revival. It is a sovereign move of God, but to reap revival, we must prepare for it by following the principles revealed in God's Word. Revival is the joint move of the Spirit of God and the response of the people of God. When revival is needed. Revival is always needed, of course, but it is most necessary when a backsliding condition is apparent. To understand backsliding, consider the example of Israel. Jeremiah called the problems of Israel backsliding. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 3 to 4. The Bible says, "The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways." Proverbs chapter 14, verse 14. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 2. You will note that Israel had determined God was not as important to them as he had formerly been. "I used to." Chapter 2, verse 5. "Forgot the great things God did for them in former days." Chapter 2, verses 6 to 7. Even the religious leaders of Israel joined the backsliding hosts. The priests failed to ask, "Where is the Lord?" Chapter 2, verse 8. With God crowded out of their lives, they turned to other things, in this case, idols. Chapter 2, verses 11 to 12. And verses 27 to 28. They forsook the true source of spiritual water and began to carve out cisterns that could hold no water. They exchanged living water for stagnant water. Chapter 2, verse 13. They began to drift spiritually. Chapter 2, verse 19. They entered into a self-righteous condition. Chapter 2, verses 22 through 23. They justified themselves with excuses. Chapter 3, verse 11. They drew others into their corruption. Chapter 2, verses 33 to 34. Backsliding is the sin of crowding God out and filling one's life with self. It is described as a pig going back to the mire and a dog returning to its vomit. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 to 22. Evidences of a backslidden condition. Here are some evidences of a backslidden condition. Examine your own heart and life as you study this list. You are entering into a backslidden condition. 1. When prayer ceases to be a vital part of your life. It has been said that revival delays because prayer decays. 2. When the quest for biblical truth ceases and you become content with the knowledge you have already acquired. This is not to say backsliders do not read the Bible. Many of them have habits of dutiful devotions, but while they read the words, the knowledge acquired is treated as facts and not applied to their lives. 3. When thoughts about eternal things cease to be regular and/or important. 4. When you pardon your sin with self-righteousness by saying, "The Lord knows I am just dust," or "That is the way I am." 5. When pointed spiritual discussions are an embarrassment and make you uncomfortable. 6. When things like recreation, sports, and entertainment become first in your life. 7. When you can indulge in sin without protest by your conscience. 8. When aspirations of Christ-like holiness are no longer dominant in your life. 9. When the acquisition of money and goods becomes dominant in your thinking. 10. When you can hear the Lord's name taken in vain, spiritual concerns mocked, and eternal issues flippantly treated, and not be moved to indignation and action. 11. When worship becomes a weariness. Church services lose their excitement. You can mouth religious songs and words without heart. There is no song in your heart, no praise with a ring of joy. 12. When breaches of unity in the fellowship are of no concern to you. 13. When the slightest excuse seems sufficient to keep you from Christian service. 14. When your fleshly senses are out of control. You watch degrading movies and television, listen to ungodly music, and read morally debilitating literature. 15. When you adjust happily to the world's lifestyle, for example, unpaid debts, bankruptcy, lying, dishonesty, unkept appointments and promises, immodest styles of dress, cheating your employer of a full day's work, etc. 16. When your lack of spiritual power no longer concerns you. There is no restless yearning for more of God and His power in your life. 17. When your church has fallen into spiritual decline, the word of God is no longer preached with power in your church, and yet you are content. 18. When the moral, political, spiritual, and economic conditions of the world and your nation are of no concern to you. 19. When your heart is hard, your tears do not flow easily, you are uncaring, abrupt, etc. You do not weep over the things which Jesus wept over, like a lost city, the spiritual condition of man, and the sorrows of others. 20. When you have lost your spiritual strength and do not even realize it. Biblical principles of revival. Old Testament revivals yield biblical principles that guide us in praying for revival. No two revivals are identical, but the following principles are evident in the Old Testament record. 1. Most Old Testament revivals were preceded by a time of deep spiritual decline and despair. When conditions are declining around you and you are tempted to despair, rejoice instead. You may be on the brink of revival. 2. Each revival began in the heart of one man who became the instrument God used to stir others. As God touches your heart with the fire of revival, you will fan the revival flame in others. 3. Every Old Testament revival rested on the powerful proclamation of the Word of God. The message of revival should focus on sin, hell, and God's judgment, not just power, love, peace, and prosperity. Consider the revival message of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 3. Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 7 to 8. And Elijah, 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. 4. Repenting from sin always preceded revival. Repentance included the destruction of every idol and separation from the world. 5. There was a return to proper priorities, including concern for others, keeping the Sabbath, giving, prayer, and the Word of God. 6. There was a return to the genuine worship of God. This worship was not cold and formal, but an exciting, emotional response of the people to their Lord. 7. Every revival was followed by a time of productivity, prosperity, great joy, and gladness. Obstacles to revival. Here are some things that prevent the sovereign move of God in a church. Leadership hindrances. Leaders who do not preach and teach the Word of God in power hinder revival. Those who have no prayer life, no Bible study program, no demonstration of power, and no passion for delivery of the Word hinder revival. Those who control their congregations and quench the Spirit of God also hinder His sovereign move. Leaders who do not really care for the sheep hinder revival. They do not lead the flock to the green pastures and still waters necessary to revive them. Leaders who have lost their compassion for a dying world hinder revival. Many do not recognize their responsibility to be the leaders in revival. Joel chapter 2, verses 15 through 18. Congregational hindrances. There can also be obstacles to revival in the congregation of God's people. A congregation's love of tradition interferes with revival. Revival and change are synonymous. God is orderly and dependable, but He is also fresh and vital. He is not a traditionalist. If the church must run according to the traditions of men, it will run without the power and presence of God. A congregation's love of formal order hinders revival. Michal, David's wife, condemned him because of his emotional worship, and she was struck barren. A barren church loves formal order and ritual. Love of brevity also hinders revival. We want God to send revival in the 2 hours we designate to Him on Sunday morning. Many congregations love comfortable truth. They do not want to be confronted with the claims of Christ upon them or preaching about sin and judgment. The truths necessary for revival are not always comfortable. Love of respect by others also hinders revival. Some congregations are more concerned about what people will think than about what God thinks. General hindrances. There are other hindrances which may be found in both leadership and the congregation. Iniquity hinders revival, whether it be found in the man in the pew or the pulpit. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear our pleas for revival. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 to 2. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. An attitude of resignation that these are the last days and we can only expect things to get worse and worse will hinder revival. Inattention to prayer and the Word, refusing to humble self, and refusing to seek the Lord all hinder revival. Limiting God hinders his sovereign move in our midst. Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Psalms chapter 78, verse 41. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Matthew chapter 13, verse 58. Indifference prevents revival. People become indifferent to the claims of Christ and to the needs of others. Insensitivity to our spiritual condition and to the moving of God's Spirit also hinders revival. God's revival plan. Each of the hindrances we have discussed can be eliminated through intercession because revival comes in response to prayer. Here is how to pray for revival. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Many important principles of revival are contained in this verse. First, note that God is speaking to his people. If my people. He is not talking to sinners, the world, or just anyone in general. God is talking to his people who are called by his name. Here is what God's people must do if they are to experience revival. 1. Humble themselves. To humble yourself is to bring yourself low before God. Study Leviticus chapter 26, verses 40 to 41. This humbling includes humbling yourself before God. 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verses 1 through 13. His word, 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verses 14 through 28. And his people, 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verses 29 through 33. 2. Pray. You are to pray specific prayers of 1. Seeking God, and 2. Turning from your wicked ways. We often have not because we ask not, or we ask amiss. We should ask God to revive us and pray specific prayers of confession and repentance to prepare our hearts for the move of his Spirit. 3. Seek my face. The phrase seeking God is used in the following Old Testament passages. Exodus chapter 33, verse 7. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. Ezra chapter 8, verse 22. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 16, and chapter 21, verse 1, 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 10 to 11, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, and chapter 11, verse 16, chapter 15, verse 4, and chapter 20, verse 4, Psalms 105, verses 3 to 4, and chapter 24, verse 6, and chapter 27, verse 8, Psalms 40, verse 17, 69, verse 7, and 70, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 5. Isaiah chapter 51, verse 1. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, and chapter 50, verse 4. Hosea chapter 3, verse 5. Chapter 5, verses 6 to 7, and verse 15. Chapter 7, verse 10. Daniel chapter 9, verse 3. And Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 6. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 21. And Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. A review of these passages reveal that seeking the Lord involves 1. Voluntarily and wholeheartedly turning to God. 2. An inner attitude of commitment to serve Him. 3. A decision to turn away from all evil. 4. A decision to fulfill His will. 5. A commitment to fervent prayer. Seeking the Lord is the chief means of averting evil. Amos chapter 5, verses 4 and 14. It is the evidence of true humility. Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 3. It is the basis for sensing the presence of God. Hosea chapter 5, verse 15. It brings life. Amos chapter 5, verses 4 to 6. And it must be done wholeheartedly. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 12 to 13. 4. Turn from their wicked ways. Prayer and seeking God are not enough in themselves. They must be accompanied by true repentance, which is a change in direction. You must turn from your wicked ways towards God. Repentance is the truth emphasized in all biblical revivals. It is evident in every Old Testament revival. The church began with calls to repentance, Acts chapter 2. The final call in the book of Revelation is to repentance, Revelation chapter 22, verse 16. Repentance is a gift from God that enables you to change the direction of your life. Acts chapter 5, verses 29 through 31, chapter 11, verses 15 through 18, and 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 22 through 26. All men are commanded to repent. Acts chapter 17, verse 30. It is God's will that all repent. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. And God works graciously to draw men to repentance. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Without repentance, you will perish. Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5. Jesus commanded that repentance and remission of sins be preached in His name among all nations. Luke chapter 24, verse 47. Repentance includes turning from sins of omission, or things you do not do that you should, commission, wrong things you do, and presumption, presuming by not seeking counsel from God and sinning in the process. Repentance also includes turning from dead works. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. Dead works are any religious acts done to gain merit with God by human effort. Dead works can even include worship, tithing, and deeds of kindness. Worship must be in spirit and truth, or it is a dead work. Giving out of constraint, emotionalism, or because you are embarrassed to have the offering plate pass in front of you is a dead work. Deeds of kindness or ministry done out of obligation or to receive glory are also dead works. Any work which has no capacity to be made alive by the Spirit of God is a dead work. For example, sharing the gospel at all times and places to all men without regard to the prompting of the Spirit of God may be casting pearls before swine, Matthew chapter 7, verse 6, and reproving a scorner in vain, Proverbs chapter 9, verses 7 to 8. Any work which is done in the energy of the flesh and not in the power of the Holy Spirit is a dead work. You should constantly examine your spiritual condition, your motives, and methods of ministry, and repent of acts of omission, commission, presumption, and dead works. Summary. Here is what you must do to prepare for revival. Humble yourself. Pray. Seek God's face. turn from your wicked ways. Here is what God will do in response. Hear from heaven, respond. Forgive their sin, reconcile. Heal their land, restore.